WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
Don't
do it! No way!
You must go seize the
it's
moment!
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's broadcast of Inside Ben Davis Football alongside Jeff Robinson, Coach Simmons, and John Easter back in the studio. I'm Grant Covey, your host for this evening. The Ben Davis Giants got a victory last Friday over the Tech Titans, 51-6. Coach Simmons is now the third straight Ben Davis coach to start 1-0. The Giants have not lost a game in calendar year 2017, with their last defeat coming against Center Grove in the semi-state game in 2016. Coach, I'm sure you know that better than anybody, but take us through your first reactions of your victory on Friday night against Tex. What's the good, bad, and the ugly?
Yeah, it's probably easy to break up all three of those things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. When you look at the ugly part of it, we had 12 penalties. Those are things we certainly got to get cleaned up. When you look at the bad, we didn't tackle as well as we wanted to. Felt like offensively we missed some little nuanced things in our offense that we'll certainly get with more experience. When you look at the good, we were able to put up 51 points. We had a drive at the end of the half where we were really trying to get ourselves in a position to kick a field goal. Felt like our kids, even with their lack of experience, handled the end of the half situation really well. You can script that in practice, but you can't always replicate that in a game setting. And so for us to be able to do that in a game setting versus another varsity team with the Friday night lights on, with the scoreboard on, that I thought that was a good moment. So for us, we're really not trying to divagate at all. We're not trying to digress at all. We just got to keep building on the positives that we had, recognize what we need to work on, in terms of tackling better, in terms of trying to execute better offensively. We certainly have to get the penalties cleaned up.
You mentioned those penalties. You were playing an opponent that you were heavily favored against, maybe didn't get the respect from your kids that you would have liked to have seen. Talk about the issues with trying to get focus with your players going against a weaker opponent.
When you think about the week that Tech had, obviously they had that school related incident on Thursday, and that sent a lot of question marks in the air for our kids on Thursday. So we had to process with them a little bit. Hey, they're still going to show up and compete and play hard, and you got to tip your hat to Coach Patterson and his staff. Though their team showed up at our place and played hard. I felt like our guys, it took us a little bit to get into a rhythm. We would start to get into a rhythm and then, we'd have a penalty or we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit. So for us, I think it's about making sure that we maintain focus and understand what we're representing. And anytime you put that uniform on and anytime it says Ben Davis on your chest, you're not just representing 2018. You're representing a long line of Ben Davis football. And, I think our guys are learning that. Our offense coordinator, Coach Ferris, has been around Ben Davis football for over 20 years. And really longer. He grew up here. He went to Ben Davis High School, came back. He's been coaching here for a long time. He said, I think we have to pump the brakes a little bit. We started 17 guys, had their first varsity start on Friday night. And when you look at it in that context, it tells you we got a lot of experience to grow and gain. And so, I think it's great to have a guy like that on staff who understands, where we're at as a program. And, I think it speaks to the quality of staff that we have and our ability to sit in a room and say, hey, this is where we're at. Well, we got to roll our shirt sleeves up and go back to work because this schedule's unforgiving. You know, we obviously, I think everybody knows who we have this week. You know, with you know, ahead making our first road trip to Avon. So, you know, for us, we were up and down last week. You know, we talked about it on this show last week in practice, and that showed a little bit on Friday. But you know, we got our guys some Friday night experience, and we're certainly ready to grow and build on that.
Coach, it's not your first time at the rodeo. Certainly, you've had first games before at Hamilton Southeastern and then at Noblesville. But you mentioned it there with Ben Davis being Ben Davis. How was the first game experience for you stepping onto the Ben Davis sideline for the first time as the head coach?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, John. You know, I got asked twice after the game. I got asked by two different people, did you at least stop and take the moment? And I probably should have. You know, I really didn't. You know, you as the guy in charge, and you know, certainly had my name on it. But you know, I was more worried about making sure we were taking care of the little things, coaching ball, and worrying about all those things. And you know, I didn't take a step backwards and take it in, probably like I should have. You know, it's humbling. You know, when people talk about you being the head football coach at Ben Davis High School. And so, you know, for me, it was great to get it behind us and get into an in-season routine and start to settle in a little bit. But, you know, when you look at the people that have had that title here over the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, it's very humbling. And, you know, certainly excited about the fact that we came out of the Friday night 1-0. And, you know, that's certainly our goal this week is to go to Avon and finish the night 1-0 there.
Certainly, and you're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football from McDonald's on West 10th Street. Let's talk a little bit about your quarterback. Trent Gibson went 7-13 for 82 yards, one touchdown, one interception. What was good about your young quarterback? I know he didn't play the entire game. You got the younger guys in there later in the game and got them experience. But what did you see in Trent, and what does he need to improve upon for the game Friday night?
You know, I saw Trent settle. Just kind of settle down and really grow as the game went on. You know, I think he was excited. You know, he was excited in pregame. He was excited before the game, and I think that led to just some general nervousness. But he was one of those 17 guys making his first varsity start on Friday night, and you do that at Ben Davis Stadium, and it's pretty humbling, you know. But you could see his body language, you could see his demeanor change as the game went on, started to settle into his own routine and his own rhythm. And you know, he became more vocal with his teammates, he became more confident, and it's just an experience thing with him. You know, he looked, you know, a little jittery early and just settled as his night went on. Got Shamar Dabner in as well, who's another junior for us. You know, he completed the slant route to Dom Day for a touchdown. So both of those guys that came in, I felt like settled into their own, you know, in their own element and really executed well as the night went on.
You've been mentioning so many new guys on the field. That puts a heavier burden on the veteran guys, the few veterans you do have. What was your impression of the leadership you got out of the veteran players?
You know, I felt like our seniors really, really tried to carry the torch while gaining some experience. You take a young man like James Barker. I think James brought a lot of poise to our offensive line. James and DeJuan both, you know, those two guys probably have played more up front than anybody else. And even when we were forced to punt, even when we weren't in a big rhythm, there was no sense of panic on the offensive line. And I think a large part of that is those two guys. You know, when you look at Delbert Mims, and, you know, Delbert played the first half for us, had 10 carries, 77 yards, three scores. Delbert didn't panic. And so even when things didn't go our way, I felt like our older veteran guys, especially offensively, we just kind of kept chipping away, trying to get into a rhythm. Defensively, you know, we had Kawan Emerson and we had Malik Temple back, you know, that were starters. Had Mike Adams make his first start as a Ben Davis Giant. You know, so we had some guys, you know, those three guys that played quite a bit on Friday nights. I felt like, those guys kind of held the water for us a little bit. The other guy that stood out to me defensively from a leadership standpoint was Ravion Tharp. You know, he's had a great summer. His teammates listened to him. He carries himself really well. He not only played well, but he also stayed engaged as a leader throughout the night. And so, you know, we had leadership show up on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. You look at our kicking game execution. And I think it speaks to the experience that's coming back. You know, we had Isaac Torres, we had Zach Fox, we had Ty Nibbs and Darian Herbert. Ty and Darian have logged a lot of flight hours. And so, you know, those two guys bring a presence about them on special teams. And, you know, I think it helped us in that third phase of the game.
Coach, you talked a little bit about my question there and there right at the tail end of your comments. Talk a little bit about those special teams, because you don't get a lot of opportunity to practice special teams while the lights are on, as you say, and the scoreboard's on a game time situation until you're out there on a Friday night. So at least with that pressure that you get on a Friday night. So talk about your special teams a little bit.
You know, that Friday night rep is always a little different. We got a punt block late in the game, and that wasn't on Ty. That was on our protection. We had rotated some different guys in, and our protection wasn't real clean. That was probably the one downside. You know, we had a couple penalties on special teams. But when you look at all the positives that came out of it, you know, we were 6-7 on PATs, had one towards the end of the game that just didn't come out clean. You know, so Isaac and Zach both sharing those duties, you know, I thought did a nice job. We had three touchbacks, you know, when anytime you set an offense up to go 80 yards, it lessens their scoring percentage. We executed the end of half field goal situation flawlessly, I thought. And so, you know, there are certainly a lot of bright spots. And then, you know, you can't ignore the obvious. You know, Mike Adams takes a second-half kickoff back 82 yards. And, you know, while Mike is a 10-600 guy, he also got a couple of blocks that created a huge hole for him. And he looked like he was shot out of a cannon when that hole opened up, because he took off. And, you know, so when you look at we scored 12 points. We scored 15 points on special teams. And so, you know, that's – You get 15 points out of your special teams. That's a huge night.
Yes, and we're here at McDonald's on West 10th Street for Inside Ben Davis Football, episode number 2. Again, talking about the Giants' victory, 51-6 over the Tech Titans. Let's talk a little bit about your defense. Collins was your leader on defense with 7 tackles. What can you take away from your defense on Friday night?
Well, I thought both of our defensive ends, not just Ravion Tharp, but also Manias Collins, like you mentioned there, Grant. I thought both those guys did a nice job setting the edge, applying pressure in the backfield. You know, both of them had multiple tackles for loss. We recovered 4 fumbles, you know, and so we had 4 takeaways, which I thought was huge, because it told us as a coaching staff that we were aggressively trying to get that football out. You know, not all those were just drops or fumbled snaps by Tech. A couple of them were, but you know, we were going after the football. I thought in the secondary we moved fairly well. We'd certainly have to get some things cleaned up back there. But as a whole, I felt like our kids got to the ball well. I felt like we were able to get into the backfield and create some disruption in the run game. And certainly we were able to apply pressure when they did drop back to pass. And so as a whole, you know, as a unit schematically, I thought we were okay. Our tackling left a lot to be desired, and that's been a huge point of emphasis for us this week, knowing that we have a great running back on our schedule coming up to play against this Friday. So, you know, to answer your question, Grant, we were a little up and down, but, you know, there were some things that we did really well, and there were some things that we could certainly build into the practice schedule this week to get better at.
Coach, what's been the – you mentioned tackling. Has that been your primary area of focus in terms of – trying to improve from week 1 to week 2?
Yeah, you know, it's that old cliche in coaching, you know, the really good football teams show their greatest area of growth between week 1 and week 2, and, you know, that's certainly our point of emphasis this week, is growing ourselves to a point that we make huge strides from week 1 to week 2, and so much of that is, you know, you always try and take care of yourselves. When you get into preseason, when you get into the summertime, you get into preseason, you know, you don't do a ton of tackling in practice. And that's for obvious reasons. One, you want to take care of your own guys. Two, you're worried about the health and safety of your own players, which, you know, we certainly are. And we did not spend a bunch of time tackling in the preseason. And then, so, you know, you get out there for the very first time, you got a tailback that's trying to go get his own yards, and, you know, it certainly changed the landscape of things for us. But, you know, I would say for us defensively, we want to communicate better, first and foremost. We want to make sure that our alignment and our initial movement is better. And then on the back end of the play, we certainly have to tackle better. And so, you know, you can always do those three things as a defensive unit better. You can communicate better. You know, your initial movement could always be a little bit cleaner, a little bit better. And then, you know, obviously you can always finish plays better as a collective group tackling the ball.
Again, you're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football. We're live here on West 10th Street at the McDonald's. We're going to come back in 1 minute. and we will preview the Ben Davis Giants game against the Avon Orioles, their first road trip of the season. They'll be heading out to Avon on Friday night. Back in 1 minute on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having three number one albums? One in 100 million. The odds of going on to win six Grammy Awards? One in 1.4 million. And the odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? One in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football. Live at the McDonald's on West 10th Street alongside Jeff Robinson, Coach Simmons, and John Easter. I'm Grant Covey, and right at the second half of our show now, Coach. When you look at Avon, obviously you cannot ignore their running back spot. Sampson James, Ohio State recruit, but there's got to be some other areas to look out for. But what is your initial reaction when you look at these Orioles coming off a 44-13 victory over Plainfield last week?
Yeah, my initial focus was on their offensive line and on their defensive line. But, you know, both of those groups for them are really talented groups. Their offensive line has a couple of four-year starters on it, and those guys are really polished fundamentally. They're sound across the board with their offensive line. They show you a lot of different personnel groups to try and get their own kids in an advantageous spot. And then obviously you can shift your focus to Sampson James, but that's certainly not a one-trick pony on their football team in any stretch of the imagination. I think he certainly sets the tone for them offensively, but you look at what he can open up for them, and he can certainly add. He can certainly give their offense a couple of different elements that, you know, that make them really hard to defend. From a defensive perspective, they're very active and very disruptive. You know, Coach Bombi does a really nice job with their defense, scheming it up. They're very active on the back end. Their secondary is a talented group of kids. Their box players are talented. And so, you know, you look at this group, and we heard quite a bit of it this offseason. You know, they're primed and ready, and they have more returning starters back than anybody that we'll see this year. And you know, you throw that game on against Plainfield, and it looks like they have a bunch of returning starters. You know, they're very polished. I would say schematically, defensively, they're advanced in terms of maybe where they've been early in the season in past years, having seen them front, you know, when we were at Noblesville. You know, they're deep into their package already, and so, you know, we're certainly preparing for a lot this week. You know, I think defensively for us, it starts by recognizing the personnel group in the formation, and then taking it from there.
When you look at Avon offense, that is so stacked and huge on the offensive line, as well as having such a great back in Sampson James, do you anticipate having to modify your defense to try to control that running game?
I think what we have to do is make sure that we're sound versus every formation that they could show us. You know, we've seen a lot. In preparation, we've gone back. You know, obviously, there were two Avon Ben Davis games from last season that we could go back and reference. We've been playing Avon for a while now, and so, you know, we could go back and look at a lot of different film opportunities and pull a lot from those to know what's in their package and, you know, what they have at their disposal in terms of personnel groups, formations, all of those things. And we could even go back and use some film from when I was at Noblesville, because obviously we were in the same conference in the Hoosier Crossroads. So, you know, we've done a lot in preparation defensively to make sure that we're sound versus what they could show us from a formation standpoint. And then once we get sound, we're just going to line up and go play.
From the standpoint, though, of their passing game, you take a first look at Avon. They've got a sophomore quarterback, Henry Hessen, really only one receiver that was notable from last year is back in their receiving core.
Yeah. when you look at he doesn't play like a sophomore. You know, he had a tremendous amount of poise against Plainfield. He stood tall in the pocket, delivered on two touchdown balls that were really two different routes. You know, he had to throw a post route that he hit Peterman in stride. Through the go route down the sideline. So he throws a nice deep ball. He has good touch on his ball. He throws a catchable ball for those guys, and they can threaten you in a couple of different spots with their with their passing game. And we're going to have to be on top of things. And that part of that goes back to making sure that we recognize the formation first, and then we got to be able to communicate and get lined up from there.
Coach, you talk about Avon and all that they have and all the formations that they have and everything else. And they also have a great coach on the sidelines and Coach Bless. Who, I think I've mentioned before, his father and my father went to college together at Indiana Central, which is kind of an interesting note. So, they both played on the football team and went to school together back at Indiana Central. So when you look at the Bless family of coaches, because there are several Blesses that do coach, as well as their father, who's a great coach, it just seems like Avon reloads every year, where they've got a new quarterback again this year with Hessen, but you look Meisner, and then before that Brandon Peters. I mean, they've had a great run out there since Coach Bless has been on the sidelines. Talk about what he does that makes them so successful.
Well, I think probably when you look at Coach Bless, and he's a great friend of mine through the Coaches Association and through coaching against each other. You know, he's consistent. He is who he is. He doesn't try and pretend to be something he's not. And I think those are two things that I've tried to take away from him, being around him and knowing him as long as I have and coaching against him. He has established guidelines and standards in his program. He has surrounded himself with coaches who believe in his vision and his mission for Avon football. And when you do that, you really go to work on building a program. And when you build a program, people start to reference your team from year to year as reloading and not rebuilding. And I think that's kind of the state of Avon football right now. They have depth. They have a freshman team every year that competes. They have a JV team every year that's really competitive in their conference and out of conference. And their varsity team year in and year out is always consistently ready to play. And they're consistently good. And so, when you look at this year's version of Avon, it's no different, John. But I think that speaks to what they were able to learn from their dad when growing up with him at Greenwood High School and UIndy for those guys. But it also speaks to, who he is as a person and his longevity in coaching.
Coach, if you had to pinpoint one thing as you prepare for Avon this week, if you had to pinpoint one thing that you're focusing on in practice this week, what would it be? What is your point of emphasis, I guess I should say, at practice this week?
I think our point of emphasis day in and day out, every period, we've talked to our guys about owning the little things. If we can own the little things, it's going to give us a chance to neutralize the line of scrimmage. It's going to give us a chance to grow and get better. It's going to allow us to tackle better. So we just got to continue to take care of the little detailed-oriented things that are going to allow us to grow as a football team and as individual players.
Coach, last year Ben Davis started on its offensive line, the valedictorian for Ben Davis High School. This year, Avon, you look at their team, they have three players that are getting, I believe, offered to go to military academies. Very prestigious honors right there. How much of a factor does intelligence play in a football team?
Well, I think when you have smart football players, which they certainly are, obviously they're smart in the classroom too. You become very coachable. You become a player that has a large football toolbox. And so, when you look at the volume of snaps that those three guys that you're referencing, Jeff, that have committed to military academies for them, when you look at the volume of snaps those guys have played, we're not going to throw anything at them that they haven't already seen. Whether it's against Ben Davis in 2017, 2016, 2015, or whether it's against any other team in their conference or on their schedule. So, for us, it's about getting, it's about executing. And we're talking about executing against three guys that are Division I football players with high football IQs and a lot of flight hours. And so what that tells you is you better be on your game. And you're going to have your hands full. And so we know those two things going into it. They're great kids, from talking to Coach Bless, talking to people, talking to other coaches on their staff. They rave about the types of kids that they are. So it's no surprise that they're good students. It's no surprise that they're good football players. And so, you know, those things come from good parents. And so, we're going to have our hands full with those three. But, you know, it's more than just those three guys. But, you know, I think it to their credit, they're getting it done in the classroom and they're getting it done on the football field as well.
We're here with Inside Ben Davis Football at McDonald's on West 10th Street. We now go back to the studio.
Hey, thanks. the series between these two teams, Coach, you talked about. How they play, they seem to play each other every year. The series doesn't go back that long, which might surprise people. It only goes back to 2008, and I think you may have been on staff that year here at Ben Davis. Were you on staff in 08?
I was.
Yeah, so you remember that first game, which I believe was a sectional game between these two opponents in 2008.
Sectional, wasn't it a sectional final, John? Sectional
yeah, championship? I think it was, and it was a tight battle. There are lots of good tight battles. I mean, I think it was, 2015, I want to say, where LaShawn Miner had the big interception to seal it for the Giants. So there have been a lot of good games, but there also been a lot of blowouts where Ben Davis has kind of had the upper hand. They lead the series. The Giants lead the series 10-2. As you look at this series, these are the two West Side powers. I mean, obviously, I'm not throwing Brownsburg under the bus here, but at least recently in recent times, Ben Davis and Avon have played a lot and it's been a lot of big games. So talk about this rivalry between the two schools.
Yeah, I think, I think we're separated by 11 miles. And so, you know, with 11 miles and with the with the growth of social media over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years and with, you know, with all the things that our guys do outside of school with 7-on-7s and things like that, you know, our guys have spent a lot of time around Avon guys. They've spent a lot of time with Avon guys. You know, you can have conversations and you look up and down the roster and there's some old Ben Davis names whose kids right. are now playing for Avon, you know. And so I think these two programs have certainly been tied together over the last 10 years, going all the way back to 2008 in the sectional championship game. And, you know, I think it so much of it is just, you know, some old West Side people have moved a little further west to raise their families for, you know, for whatever reason. And so there's some old Ben Davis football names on Avon's roster. And so, you know, there's a lot of familiarity and with familiarity brings sometimes brings chatter and, you know, sometimes just brings some competitive fire if you're competing against friends. And so for this rivalry, sorry. I think for, you know, you're fine. For us as, you know, for us as coaches, we want to go 1-0. You know, we're ironically enough, we don't see each other in the same sectional right now. Right. That could change in the springtime. But, you know, so for us, if we see each other again, it's going to be in the semi-state. And if you ask Coach Bless, I think we would both take you up on that offer right now. If you were going to tell us we were going to have a rematch this season, I think we'd both take you up on it. So, you know, for us, you know, you got one shot at a rival right now. You're guaranteed one shot. And so we just, you know, we want to go out, take care of the little things and go compete and see where we're at. You know, I think for us, this is as good a measuring stick in non-conference as we could schedule right now. If we're staying in state. So it's going to give us an opportunity with our guys to gain some more experience on Friday night and also see where we're at as a football team heading into our heading into the Mick part of our schedule.
Coach, you mentioned the chatter. And I when I said West Side, the West Side powers, I didn't mean to throw Pike under the bus either. I should mention that. But when you look at this rivalry, you mentioned the chatter. How do you stay on top of that?
You're not going to win with social media and teenagers right now. I think what you have to do is bring to light, you know, what's going on. As a coach talking to his players, what's your end game on social media? You know, these guys are far better at social media than I am. I don't have a Snapchat account. I could care less. Don't have my own Instagram account. Could care less. I do have a Twitter account. I think for us, it's making sure that our kids understand their brand, making sure that what you post is seen worldwide. And as soon as you hit send, you lose all control of that message. And we've talked about social media with our kids. I'm not going to bore them. I'm not going to just continually harp on them. You know, those two things matter to us. Once you hit send, you lose all control of that message. And is your message reflective of what our program is standing for? Those are the two things that I really want our kids to take to heart before they post anything. And some of it, too, you know, our guys are just excited, and they post things on social media that tell everybody that they're excited to play the game, and there's no harm in that. But it's all a growth process, and it's all an opportunity to educate our guys.
All right, Coach, what's your final message to Purple Rain, the Ben Davis fan base, as you head out to Avon? You said it's only 11 miles, so... what's your message to get these fans out here on Friday night?
Well, we certainly want their support. You know, it's a short drive, mileage-wise, probably take a little bit longer with that traffic on Rockville Road, unless everybody knows some shortcuts to get them over there. But we certainly want to continue to represent the Ben Davis community, the Ben Davis part of the West Side, and we want those guys to rally around us and support us. Certainly appreciate Purple Rain and the band and the work that they did this past Friday night, giving that home side a different feel, a different environment, certainly brought some energy. And so, you know, we want to continue to build and grow. And, you know, we're going to continue to build and grow ourselves. We want Purple Rain, and we want the Ben Davis community to travel with us over to Avon, so we can put on the white uniforms and do everything in our power to represent Ben Davis.
All right, Coach. Thanks for joining the show tonight as well. Thanks to Jeff and John back in studio. The Giants have won 15 straight games, and they look to make it 16 on Friday night. WBDG brings you coverage at 6 p.m. on Friday night. Live coverage goes around 6:45. Thanks to everybody who contributed to the show tonight. I'm Grant Covey, and have a great night. This has been the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network. This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.